four biblical roles, and there is what you're made to do on this earth. And we start out with this place of God says we love God with all our heart, number one above all else, and then we love one another right along with that. That's our command. But to do that, when we come to Christ, we are actually transformed. It says we in Corinthians that we're a brand new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, all right? So as we talk about that, we look in that, and in that spot, we've talked about this before, and you can look online that last spring in 2018, and in the summer, we have a same Strong Identity series, same graphic, you'll be able to see it, and you can catch up on the primary standing and the attitude. But when we come to Christ, it changes everything, right? And so when God is explaining who we are because of what Christ has done, he doesn't just say it in one or two words. He says it with lots of examples about and helping us understand this is how a new creation in Christ thinks and sees things and perceives things, our attitude. This is our primary standing with God now because of what Christ has done. This is our true standing with God. And then today we're going to be talking about this thing of roles. And we're going to be we talked about priest last week. We're going to talk about soldier this week. Then we're going to jump to light. And then the last one, we'll talk about how your particular part is unique to anybody else and is connected to the whole of the body. So we're going to be talking about these roles of who you are designed, what you're designed to do, what your role, primary role is on earth. We have lots of roles on this earth, but these are the primary roles. These are the roles that have to go above all your other roles. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whatever type of role you have with your father, a mother, a son, a daughter, or whatever, a teacher, whatever your career is. Musician, these roles influence those roles. And those roles are what you do to reach the goal that God has you and the fulfillment that God has for you in this life. So, today we're going to be talking about that you are a soldier. So, now you can write on your car, I'm a royal priest, I'm a temple of God, and I'm a soldier. And you'll be theologically correct. But again, I do not recommend you writing that on your car. Maybe this understood in some strange way. But the thing about Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he says, there's an enemy. I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. But there's an enemy, and he's a thief, and his name's Satan. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But me, I've come that you might have life and have life to the full. This is really the message of Jesus. This is what he provides for us. But what's clear in that is we have an enemy. You know, even though I didn't fully commit my life to Jesus until I was in 16 in high school. Before that, I lived in church. My parents, man, I can't tell you how much church I took in. How many sermons I slept through. How many sermons I went through. How many Sunday school lessons I have. And quite honestly, in that Sunday school, if you had captured me back then, and you said, hey, I want you to tell me who Satan is, I would speak of him in the past tense. Oh, yeah, he's Jesus. Battled him in the wilderness, and oh yeah, I might even get radical and say, oh yeah, he seemed like he cast out a lot of demons that were from Satan. That's all through the scriptures. I might even know that. But when I thought about how I was trained about Satan, I never thought of it as a something in which that, you know, that I had to engage with. I mean, we sang songs like Onward Christian Soldiers, you guys know that one? Marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, and all that. I have no idea what that means, but it was fun because it was about the most exciting song we had back then, right? So as a kid, you know, just march, I don't know what this means. But I knew a couple of things, but I got a lot of theology, probably messed up theology, that there was something we go off to war, you know? It's something that we head off to. You know, like, I didn't understand that I actually was in the war. I didn't understand that it was right there, right now. This world is described as this war that's talking about. And I certainly didn't understand I had any part in participating in that. I had no idea that it was a war that was secure, that we were going to win. It was already done, and we were just waiting for it to play out. I didn't understand any of those kind of things. And so understanding that is to me, but what's so strange about this is, you know, I was at a spot, I actually wanted to follow God, even back, but I had gotten myself and made some really horrible choices in my life. You guys ever done that? And it got me to a point, the best way to describe it was I was tied up. I would try my best to do better, to quit doing these things that I gave myself over to, that I gotten tied up. And it would be like, if you can imagine someone with his ropes all around their hand with knots, right? Sometimes you've maybe been there, I don't know why, but maybe you have. If you have an older brother, you've been there. So the reality is, you start trying to pull it apart, and all of a sudden the knots just tighten. And you finally, after doing that 4 or 5 times with hope, you just start deciding, I need to live with it this way as I'm bound up. That was me. I just thought, I've tried every way I know how. And so I was kind of stuck. But then this strange thing happened is a younger pastor on the staff of the church we were part of began doing these Bible studies on just with this question is Satan active still? If he is, what part do we play in fighting him off, and how do we win, and what does it look like? And so he just started reading everything he could, whenever it'd say devil, Satan, demons, you know, the enemy, you know, he would just start reading all of Jesus' teachings, and he just realized, my goodness, it's everywhere. Read the Bible, it's everywhere. That we are actually, there is a force called, this evil has a name to it, it's Satan and demonic forces. It's as primitive as that sounds to our culture right now. It's true. Jesus talked about it all the time. And so in that, looking at that, you know, I found myself listening on, you have to understand, at this point I'm checked out of church completely. I'm the guy in the back row that's trying to get out as soon as I can. But this caught my interest. This sounded like, hey, some excitement happening in church. Because when he started talking about this, people did not like this. They were really mad that they people were that we're talking about the devil. It's like, this is terrible, right? And so he says, but there were all these discussions going on in the hallway, and I'd be listening in on them. And I started kind of getting, I was like, wow, I've never heard this before. And then I remember one person said, you know, when Peter says, be alert and be sober. Your enemy is like a lion prowling around, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be alert. I think, someone should have told me that. I mean, that's how I went, wait a second, you're telling me you didn't tell me this, right? So as a kid, I'm like, wow, this is kind of important. And so I remember in these discussions, and here's what started happening inside of me. I started thinking, maybe, just maybe, this struggle that I'm feeling, all these things that have me doing things I'm trying not to do, maybe they're more than me. I know I played a part in it. Maybe there's something spiritual to this. Maybe I actually have an enemy that has caused this too, if I've made choices. And maybe if there's a spiritual power that's holding me, maybe, possibly, Jesus is the spiritual power who can cut the ties, who can untie me. I remember thinking, like, so this word, everybody else was getting upset about this talking about, I was like, oh, this is great. I didn't know this was a possibility. And in that spot, I found myself recognizing maybe some of these messages, you guys ever get messages? You don't say that because you sound crazy, but thought processes, things that come to your mind, right? Like, give up, Dave. It's the way you are. Maybe those things that cause me to feel so shamed and so beat down. Maybe those weren't just my head. Maybe there was someone putting these messages towards me. And that started causing me to think, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe the reason whenever I start to try to yield my life and open my whole life up to God, I just felt shut down, man. Like, don't you dare. I thought, maybe this isn't just me, right? And even when I finally got to a point of committing my life to Jesus, this was very helpful. Because when I started to do it, I literally remember laying there shaking because I felt like I was having to just, the enemy was just screaming, do not do this. But I did it anyway. And it changed my whole life. And God untied me. And I thought, wow, right? It's real important to understand that, you know, we are in a war. That we actually have an enemy. And this is normative. It's not weird. It's just normal, right? It's a worldview that will bring you a lot of freedom. It'll help you understand what's happening around you when you're watching people's lives. It'll help you understand what's taking place inside of you, right? And so I'd say that in our church, We do talk about the enemy and explain that, but we are, a lot of our emphasis is on this identity of being a child, right? You hear that a lot, of going to God and opening your life up and yielding and humbling yourself and welcoming the Holy Spirit, you know, and even being a citizen and saying, God, I want you to rule and reign in my life. I want to partner with you. I want to open my whole self to you, right? And we'll always emphasize that. That is central, primary things, right? This is where it comes from, this place of relationship with God. And so, but what happens sometimes when we start talking only in those terms, which is absolutely worship, right? I mean, what are we saying? Oh, no place I'd rather be than where? Here in your arms, right? Oh, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. I mean, I sing all the songs. I love them. They're truly my heart, right? I welcome your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth. As, you know, we welcome receiving. Crucial. But you understand that that is so important, but it is incomplete when it comes to our identity. Because in our identity, there's lots of other terms that are used that are different than just receive and yield and humble yourself, which are all essential at the front end. But this, how about words like do, do not, stand, forgive, proclaim, heal, deliver, resist, fight. Those are right in there too, right? Out of identity, we have to understand that God has put us, we are a child, but we're also a soldier. And we look at this and we start understanding that, you know, you can get, if you take only the spot of not the responsive part of God and not the second part of the command of loving people and going out and engaging in this world and affecting this world as the body of Christ, if you take that out, you start getting this place that you're just saying, here's Christianity. I'm in God's arms. I'm in God's arms, which is great, but it's not complete, right? He has things for us to do. We're here for a reason. We have a role on this earth that's significant. And part of that role, it uses these military terms to help us understand this particular role, which sounds different than a child, is we're a child. But we're also a soldier. So let's do a little feedback here. Give me some terms that you would describe for a good soldier. Obedient. They do what the commander says. Yes. What?
Well-trained.
They're well-trained. What else?
Strong.
They're strong. They're courageous. They will go into very difficult situations. What else?
Discipline.
They're disciplined, right? They hold to what the orders are. What else?
Brave.
Anything else?
Believe.
They believe in what they're doing, right? They have confidence in the mission, right? What else?
Loyal.
They're loyal. They're well armed. What else? They're under authority. What else? Anything else? They know their enemy. They don't give up. Excellent. They know their enemy. They even know the enemy's tactics. They study their enemy. And they know how to use the weapons they have. And they fearlessly do that. They're extremely bold and courageous. Those are all so here's what I'm going to say. In Christ, that is you. You know, Maude, where you at? Maude here? It's Maude. It's Randy Larson. You know, it doesn't matter. It's the whole gamut, male, female, old, young. It doesn't matter. Child, you have that in you because this is who Christ has made you to be, right? So as you look at this, understand that, you know, a good soldier fights. You're actually made to fight. When Jesus came on this earth, he starts with this place of saying, you know, there's an enemy, but I've come to overcome that. And he goes on John says this, the reason the Son of God appeared, listen to this, was to what? Destroy the work of the enemy. To destroy the work of the devil. Right? Jesus was a humble servant who was a tremendously powerful fighter, right? And then when we follow him, he taught his disciples. He trained them, you have a power that is greater than the power of the world and the enemy. He taught them and showed them. He basically, you know, in Corinthians, there's all kinds of writings to the church where Corinthians, Paul says, the weapons that we fight are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. That is you. That is the follower of Jesus. And so we're designed in God's image, right? And so these things that are just down in us, right? In every human, a desire to be in relationship. You guys know that about humans? They might do it in all kinds of brokenness, but you watch them go towards relationships and intimacy and community. They just have it in them, right? Desire to be great, to have significance. You know that's from God, right? Desire to have fulfillment in life. Those are all God-given desires, right? The desire to be strong and courageous. I never was that in the human form. It's great to be a Christian where I can be strong and courageous because it's part of who I am now. Now, and this understanding that, you know, when we come into this identity in Christ and we take on this role, we begin becoming this, even the priests, as we talked about last week, we begin going and engaging in people's lives. And guess what? When we come out of darkness, we come into light. And so there's so many beautiful things about light. I remember for the first time I could see people and see God's image in them. I could never see that before. I never thought of people that way. I started seeing the beauty in people. I started seeing the beauty in nature. I started seeing the beauty in situations and relationships. I started seeing who God had made us to be. And it was so beautiful. I could see glimpses of that. But you have to understand, I also saw the things within inside of me, the things that were darkness, right? You guys know that one? But it wasn't in a condemning way. It's allowed to free me so I could understand what was going on. My eyes were open. So when we come into light, we have to understand we see it all. It's not like just the good things. We see it all. And so when you are the priest, what you're going to find is you understand your identity, you're going to see the beauty of God. You're going to see his goodness. You're going to see who he is, who you are. But you're also going to start seeing the destructive forces of this world. You'll start understanding that there's a force behind these things that are so devastating in our life. That's just part of the package. And we have to understand that's where you say we have to learn what it means to be a soldier in that, right? Now, so this whole thing of seeing in Ephesians, it says, be strong in the Lord, not in you, but be strong in the Lord, this is what we're talking in Christ, and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so you may stand, take your stand against the devil's schemes. All right? This is what we have. And so in this, there's just a whole bunch of real simple truths in this. First off, it shows that we are in a war and that we have an enemy who is the devil. And he's not just a benevolent kind of general force. He's a scheming specific ways. He knows he's really good about deception and pulling you into things. He's a master of lies, right? And so we have that up. But here's what's great about that. But we cannot be taken out by him. But we do it by something that we don't do, but we do it by who God has provided for us in Christ. This mighty power, but it also what they call this whole thing of the full armor of God. Now, it goes on to say, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, an add-on, he says to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people. Now, I love this ending here. Here's Paul, and he is basically in prison, And he's struggling. And so he says, by the way, Church of Ephesus, pray also for me that whenever I speak the words, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So here he is, a soldier, saying, hey, soldiers, pray for me because I'm in my own struggle here and I'm starting to be afraid to speak out. And I know I want you to come and help me in that. I want you to pray for me. All right. So as we look at this, there's basically the starting point is this. You need to see life through a spiritual lens. That is more real than your natural lens. Okay? And you need to see your struggles through spiritual eyes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against natural circumstances, against people. No, it's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, for me, this phrase changed my life when I first was a Christian. Because I kept thinking this, what struggle is he talking about, right? I mean, is it some, it's in context, it's struggle in households and just relationships between one another, right? But like, how far does this go? So I began going around, it was almost for 2 years, I would think about this, I would say almost every day, I would say, my struggle is not against flesh and blood, and I would test it. So when I would struggle, because we all know when you struggle, you know, if I said, are you struggling in some area, you could say, yes. Yeah, I'm ticked at my husband. Yes, we're in this difficult situation. I'm struggling in this area internally. And it can be mild or it can be extreme, right? But we kind of know struggle, don't you? The question is, what struggle is he talking about here? Is this specific? Is this something that he's talking about in particular just for the church there? Or is it something broader? And what I believe with my whole heart is, and please understand this, I understand that it's real important to understand our mental and our emotional and our mindsets and patterns and history and all that stuff. I'm not, take that off the show. I'm just telling you this. I believe with my whole heart that our struggles are not just against flesh and blood. I believe that every struggle that we have has a spiritual component to different degrees, but it has a spiritual component. And I believe that we have to begin seeing struggles through spiritual eyes if we're going to overcome our struggles in a real way and not just manage them, all right? And as I say that, I know that sounds extreme, but I'm telling you, I believe it with my whole heart. From the smallest struggle to the largest struggle, there's a spiritual aspect to it. And we have to approach God and say, what do I do in the struggle? And we need him to tell us how to be strong, all right? Now, the other thing I'd say is this. I mean, if you think about that, that's just a, you know, it's like whatever the struggle you have, okay? So maybe it's like you've been treated unjustly. You've been hurt by a group of people. You've been abused. You've been disappointed. You've experienced grief. You're fighting fear. You're not feeling? You're feeling overwhelmed or cornered. You're feeling just judgment rise up inside of you. Or rage, you're wanting to shut down, you're wanting to isolate, you're in a conflict, you know, people hate you, you've been slandered or gossiped about. I mean, you're not able to let it go. It's there. It just keeps causing pain in your life, right? Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. There's an aspect to it that's spiritual. So going into this, it's like, so if that's a struggle, how do we fight it? And it says this, put on the full armor of God so that you may stand. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you may stand in the day of evil, that you might be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, continue. And it talks about this whole place of putting on the armor of God. Now, I just want to kind of focus in on this term stand, all right? The enemy is constantly at a place in which that we're in this battle. And standing is the way that you see in Scripture the most. You'll see this, stand firm, stand firm. And it's kind of funny because, you know, like, you know, you just stand? Yes. Because you have to understand what's happening is the enemy is lying to you and trying to get you to turn from God, to turn to something else, to become enraged, to go to that, you know, drug of choice or whatever. There, he is a great liar. That's his power. And so we look even in Jesus, and when he was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? Did he have a fist fight and knock down and smash Satan's head? He stood. And the God's Holy Spirit came and worked for him. His power came. You know? He literally just stood and said, this is true, and I say no to what you say is true. That's it. And God came and ministered to him with his angels. He took him through it. But all he did was stand. You understand? Standing is our part because it's keeping us from going and turning from or turning to things. Just stand and let God fight. Now, in that, we also see this other thing, and then it goes on to talk about this armor. We're not going to go in detail to all seven things, so don't check out on me. We're going to cover a few of these briefly and some more in detail. But these are really helpful things to say, how do you do that? You're in the struggle. You have the messages coming to you. How do you stand? All right? And the first thing that it talks about is kind of, I think, important. It's the first thing. It's truth. If you understand that the enemy's power is in deception. Jesus said he's the father of lies. There's nothing that doesn't come out of his mouth that's not a lie. That's Jesus' definition of the enemy. He's looking to kill, steal, and destroy by convincing you of a lie that causes you to turn, what, from the truth. And so understanding, when it talks about this place of truth, it says it's this belt that you hook around you. You just live in this place of truth. You know, it's this truth of knowing what God feels about you, knowing your true position in Christ, knowing who you are, how he sees you, how he sees the world, what's wrong, what's right, all those places of truth. Truth brings this freedom, and lies always take us to places of bondage. And so God is always about helping us understand truth because it brings us freedom. And then, so a big part of your redemption, you know, this process, you come to Christ, is going to be, and we see this all the time, you know, when you mature in Christ, you start, what's your maturity? It's replacing lies with truth of how you've lived. And you begin living in truth. And the more you understand that truth replaces that lie, the more you have more freedom. And so this truth aspect is crucial to be our centering point as we go through this. And so because what the enemy is wanting to do, he's wanting a lie to take root into our hearts that we live according to, which takes us away from God and takes us away from life. All right? So always understand part of our battle is simply, and there's three types of lies that you always will hear. Now, this will help you. Many of you have been around, you've heard this before, but it's never bad to refresh your memory. There are three categories of lie, the enemy, it tells us we're supposed to know the schemes of our enemy. The scheme of the enemy is lying, and this particular lies will have. He has a lie of condemnation and shame. He says, you feel that pointing finger. You feel condemned for your sin. You feel helpless. You know, God never condemns, right? We feel this condemning shame, which completely isolates us, and we get destroyed. The other lie is the lie of threat. You know, it's that thing I was feeling when I tried to say, I need to follow Jesus. I don't want to. I'm scared. I was threatened that I would be a complete idiot Christian, which I am. But the reality is, you know, it's like I'm my whole life will be ruined. All everything will be ruined. It's a threat. You know, it can be all the way from that to I'll take out your children. It can be anything. It's ugly. It's a threat. It makes you afraid to follow God, right? The other lie is a false promise. You know, just turn to this thing and I'll relieve your pain, right? It'll be so good, you know? Just give yourself over to pornography. Just give yourself over to rage. Just give yourself, whatever it is, your drug of choice, right? It's a false promise. It causes us what? To not believe the truth. And so, truth is essential in this battle. The other thing I'd say is righteousness. Now, this is described as a breastplate of righteousness, which is kind of interesting, but it's just this, I think it really is, imagery is correct. It's like it covers your heart. It's this place that's the core of who you are. Understanding this is crucial because, again, the lie, what, of condemnation. You have to understand that you're righteous before God. When he points a finger at you and condemns you, you say, wait a second, I think it says in Romans there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I think it says that in him we might become righteousness to God, not because we did anything, because he justly paid for our sins and we're justified and righteous. I think I should not be condemned. This is a lie, right? So understanding righteousness, understanding your standing, your primary identity with Christ is crucial in being a good soldier. But there's also, I love it in Corinthians, Paul puts it another way, and where it's also not just a positional place of righteousness, it's what we do, right? It's like in truthful speech, in speaking the truth, and in the power of God with weapons of righteousness in our right hand and our left. I'll get real practical here. When you're really ticked at your spouse, right, and you just want to say that one thing to just nice, be real spiritual about it, of course, that's what you do. But you say it to just shut up the conversation and belittle them just a little bit to get out of the situation where you feel put on the spot because you're feeling condemned, usually. You know, use the weapon of righteousness and love your wife right then. Make a choice to love her. Or a husband, you can switch it to the same way. In that spot where that person cuts you off in the car, and rage comes out of you because you've been unjustly cut off and shortened your commute by a minute, and you're upset, and you want to flip them off, you want to say things under your breath, and you say, I will truly care about this person and see them the way God does, and I will pray over them. I will pray for them sincerely. That is the weapon of righteousness, right? Right? And then the other thing it talks about is this place of righteousness. Now, righteousness, the gospel. And Paul is all about the gospel. You remember how he said at the very end of this thing, by the way, I want to keep saying who Jesus is, but I'm getting a little freaked out because I'm already in prison. I might be killed. But I'm going to keep saying it, and I need your help to pray for me because I'm getting a lot of fear coming at me, and I need to stand firm and keep speaking what is true about my relationship with God and who Jesus is, right? Because he knew what he said in Romans, that I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. Now, let me just say this. Speaking the truth of God, who Jesus is, and telling your personal story is powerful. It transforms people's life. This is what the enemy is trying to keep us from doing. Do you understand why it's so hard to say, I love Jesus at work, or tell them you're going to church, or this thing's starting to happen inside of you and how God has done this amazing thing in your life? It seems like it would be easy. It's Jesus. It's amazing. It's true. It's changed your whole life. But you start to say it, and you can't get it out. That's because you're in a spiritual battle. Speak it. And when you speak it, it will not only affect people, it'll affect your heart. If you start becoming public with your faith, you will feel a strength start coming in you that you can't believe because it's who you are. And as you say it, it has this power. Testimony has this tremendous power. And so always be understanding that what's to speak what is true. And then the third is this place, and I won't put these three together, is this place. He does this add-on thing. And he says that, and he goes, in addition to all that, if that's not enough, take the shield of faith, and it'll extinguish all these flaming arrows. You know, this is. Do you guys know those kind of times when you just have these things coming at you? Like, they don't feel like just a dull thing. They feel like a sharp thing. I don't know if that's exactly what it's talking about, but what I do is that it's understanding that when you need to be able to know that when you have those things come at you, you need to say, no, I trust what God says. I need to trust in God during this time and not let it penetrate your heart and then have to pull it out later. That's what the shield of faith is saying. I trust God. And then it goes on to talk about this place of salvation. And it calls it, you know, it's not a shield, it's called a helmet. Okay? So, and I don't know exactly, you know, there could be a whole, I've heard so many series on this, it's like it could be a lot of things. But the thing I think is, what I think about that is this, is there's something in when you know that you're going to win the war. You fight differently. You know, even if you get killed. It's like, you know, it's like I know the end. I know that I will be in heaven. I know that this is a small part of a long life of eternity. I know that's what counts the most. I live according to knowing I have salvation and security at salvation. It does something for you in living an eternal way of looking at life. It just changes the way you have courage. If you want to have courage, believe heaven. believe it, not in some weird way, but in a way that this is truly what's important. The eternity is important. Live in an eternal world mind, world set, worldview, some kind of view, and actually live in that, and you'll begin having courage on this present earth. Get a hold of that, right? And then the last thing is Scripture. It talks about the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. This is so crucial. The reason we talk all the time about love the Scripture, know the Scripture. Jesus fought off the enemy by just speaking, it is written, it is written, it is written. It's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. Understand Scripture, because right in the middle of it, you have truth coming in to say no to the lie. And so the more you know the truth of Scripture and deep in your spirit and knowing how that is, the more you'll be able to do well in life. And then it closes off with this whole thing of prayer. We'll stop there. You know, this is something that we don't do alone. We do it in relationship with God, you know. I often tell this story about my wife and I when I'm in this conflict with Debbie. I know you did, that never happened. But I'm in this conflict with Debbie, and I tell this story quite a bit. And I'm like, I'm just ready to go to bed. And we've had a rule that we have to say time out till tomorrow if we're in the middle of a conflict, right? So I didn't want to say that, right? That's how bad it was. And so I thought, I don't really want to sleep. I want to get this over with now, God. So I finally did something crazy. I prayed. I said, what do I do? And I said this, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. It's unusual for me sometimes. And he says, touch your shoulder. I'm telling you, there's some kind of force field between my hand and that shoulder, you know? This is spiritual warfare, brothers. This is the real spiritual warfare. Because I knew when I touched her shoulder something, and as soon as I touched her shoulder, I felt God's love for her. And it just broke everything, right? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, you know? And it can be the most practical thing to some deep addiction you have. It can be the whole process. It can be anything. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual dynamic, and God wants us to do that. But we do it in prayer. And I'll just finally say this, is that understand that it says also keep praying for the Lord's people. We are an army. One of the characteristics of an army is we have each other's back. That's why we do prayer ministry up here. That's why I hope some of you get prayer this morning. That's why we open up to one another, because we're in this battle, and we don't do it alone. We're not made to do this alone. There's times I cannot get perspective. I'm under the firefight. The bullets are by my head. I want to go to the next foxhole and stay there. And I have to say, God, and so I just have to get prayer. It's just a normal thing. Here's Paul, the pro on this soldier thing. What does he do? By the way, pray for me right now. I'm starting to be afraid. I'm in my struggle. My struggle is not against flesh and blood, but I need you to pray for me. Right? This is who we are. You are a soldier. And so this week, I just want you to think about this. The worst thing, you can come on up. When you find yourself struggling, just remember that phrase. Try it out. Understand your struggle. There's a spiritual aspect to every struggle. Your struggle is not just against flesh and blood. You know? And then say, God, show me what is true, and how do I stand firm right now in that truth? Simple prayer, but begin applying it to the smallest thing or the biggest struggle you have. Would you stand?